Turning this evening to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, and verse 34. Mark, chapter 6, and verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And our subject this evening is Christ's compassion for souls. For here he is continuing his ministry by the Sea of Galilee. He is toward the end of his Galilean ministry. Increasing crowds are following him. His name and his reputation is becoming widespread. Recently, he has learned of the execution of his forerunner, John the Baptist, and he calls his close disciples to come apart from the crowds, to take a breather, if you like. Incidentally, when you look at the New Testament, its approach to rest and leisure is so different to the approach of our society. Leisure time for the Christian is a means, not an end. It's legitimate, but it's not the goal in life. We take rest or holidays or a time of leisure in order to be strengthened and refreshed, in order to serve the Lord with fresh zeal and purpose. But that's not my subject this evening. Well, he intended to give his disciples a break, a rest. We read of that in verse 31. But it would seem that having instructed his disciples to get into a boat, many of the crowds guessed where they were headed, or so it would seem. And they ran along the coast paths, over the little footbridges perhaps, and found him. And so when he arrived at that place, which was intended to be a deserted place, a place of quiet and rest, the people were there. And so our text says, when he came out, he saw much people. And the likely meaning here is when he came off the boat. Immediately, the people were there. Some question that phrase and say, no, they had arrived already, but he came out of the deserted place. And there were the crowds. It makes little difference how we read this phrase, but that seems to be the sense. He came from the boat, and the people were there in great numbers. The intended period of rest and refreshment was now overtaken by the great crowd that had followed. And thus we read, when he saw much people, he was moved with compassion toward them. So different to the religious leaders of the Jews, who had very little care and concern for the common people, rather like those shepherds referred to by the prophet Ezekiel, of whom the Lord said, I am against the shepherds. You take advantage of the flock. You do not bind up the wounded. You do not help and strengthen the sick. You do not seek out those who have gone astray and wandered. But the Lord here shows himself to be so different. He had a heart for the souls of these people who had followed to hear him. And so there's much to instruct and to encourage us here this evening. And so the first thing I want to focus upon is Christ's compassion when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. The literal phrase here, translated compassion, means that his bowels were moved. His innermost emotions were stirred. He saw the people. He sensed their need. And he could not fail to be filled with sympathy and concern for them. And that is one of the most attractive characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ that ought to commend him to us all, is that he has a compassion for our souls. Of course, there are a good number who would say, I do not need the compassion of Jesus Christ. I'm quite all right. I can fend for myself. I'm no sheep. I'm some other animal that is quite capable of looking after itself. But it's not how the Lord sees us. The Lord sees us all as he saw these individual people that came to him by the Sea of Galilee. They were as sheep. And that's how the Lord looks upon us all. If only we could be convinced that we are sheep, then we should desire a shepherd. When we understand that that is our natural character, our condition, that we are no more, in spiritual terms, able to care for ourselves than a sheep, then we shall say, I need the shepherd of my soul. Well, he sees us as sheep. And what does that imply? They were as sheep. Well, sheep, firstly, are some of the most vulnerable of creatures. They're not like wild animals. They are easily a prey to wolves and other vicious beasts. They go astray. Now you imagine you're in a shopping centre and you see a little toddler, 18 months, 2 year old, perhaps. They're wandering around and it's obvious to you that they are on their own. They're lost. They appear unconcerned, but you can tell that the parents are nowhere to be seen. And in that moment, you feel compassion for them. You recognize how vulnerable they are. They could be taken. Someone could do something very unpleasant. And you feel at all costs that you must keep your eye upon that toddler. For such are we before God. That toddler may be oblivious to their vulnerability. They feel content, at least in that moment. And so often we do not see how vulnerable we are, but in the eyes of our Lord, we are all as sheep. Sheep are not only vulnerable, they not only stray foolishly, but they are impressionable. One sheep climbs over the fence or breaks through the hedge, and it's not long before many other sheep follow. One is spooked, and they are all alarmed. Such is the character of sheep. Sheep need feeding. They need guiding. They need guarding. And the Lord looks upon us as sheep. Notice here that we read that he had compassion because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The Lord is speaking, this verse is describing us as sheep. We are not literally sheep, but in spiritual terms we are as sheep. And just as sheep need a guide and they need food, so we need the Lord. What was the Lord's answer to the compassion that he felt? He began to teach them many things. They needed a knowledge of God, of salvation. They needed a knowledge of themselves. Our physical needs are not what is in view here. It is our deepest spiritual needs. It is our soul that needs feeding. And we need to, each of us, appreciate this is our greatest need. In this world, spiritually speaking, our souls are very sheep-like. And we need the Lord to satisfy our deepest craving. And that's Christ's burden here, to care for the souls of these people. And that's why he begins to teach them. He looks upon us as confused, spiritually speaking. How many there are in this world, they have no sense of the real meaning of life. Some simply follow a hedonistic lifestyle. Pleasure seekers. That's the whole be-all and end-all of their life. But they're like sheep. They do not really know the source of lasting peace and satisfaction. Others follow some superstition. I read an article this week speaking about how there has been another decrease in the number of young people in the new generation of adults, Generation Z, that believe in God. Fewer and fewer. And yet, there's been an increase in that same generation of people seeking astrologers, star signs, and so on and so forth. People are like sheep. They do not know what to believe. They've been programmed by an atheistic education system to reject the idea of a God, but they still have that deep inner persuasion. They need something more to guide them, to bring light. They're confused. They're wandering. They know not what to think. There are others, they follow imaginary gods, false religions, man-made idols and deities and ideas. How few know the true and living God. Well, they are described here as people whom Christ saw as sheep not having a shepherd. He knew the spiritual leaders of Judah, of Jerusalem, of many of the synagogues of Galilee. They were meticulous for their religious observances, but they were blind leaders of the blind. They were not true shepherds. There was no relief for the conscience from that which these religious leaders taught. There was no real care for the soul. They were selfish and self-interested people. And isn't that the same today? I'm not speaking now necessarily about the leaders of churches, but those who are the leaders of society, who shape the outlook and the thinking and the hopes and fears of generations. They claim to give assurance. Follow me. I can assure you that life will be fulfilling. It will be fun. It will be satisfying. Follow me. I know the meaning of life. And yet our modern society offers no real peace, no real hope. And those empty promises are soon seen as empty. Mental health issues in our society are at an all-time high. People say something like, well, it's COVID-related, or it's Brexit-driven. There's all sorts of reasons, they say. But you know, at the root of all the depression and all the despair in our society, and of course there are some who, on account of physical or mental condition, medical conditions, that they know great sorrow of heart and great disillusionment. But the root of so much of the despair in our society is the product of the shepherds of today. They've told people, you're just an animal. You're born, you're made of chemicals and molecules. You live for a few years, then you'll die. There's no purpose to it. Take your fill of what you can, satisfy your animal urges. But that's all there is to life. No wonder many are despaired and despairing. The shepherds have not fed them with knowledge and understanding. They haven't showed to them the real meaning and purpose of life. They are a sheep without a shepherd. What a tragedy that which Christ saw in his day is by and large still true today. Live for today, say the leaders of our society. Forget God. Ignore your conscience. Saturate yourself with all the many channels of entertainment and sport and whatever else you want. But it offers no real direction, no answer to a troubled conscience, no answer to that looming fear of death that stands and towers over so many. So Christ began to teach them. So there's the first thing. We see Christ's compassion for our souls. He sees us, more accurately than often we see ourselves. But secondly, we see here Christ presented to us as the good shepherd. Now, I know the words aren't there, but it's implied. They were as sheep without a shepherd, and so he cannot take his rest. He cannot simply revert or resort to that deserted place with his disciples. He must assume the role of a shepherd to these sheep. How does he do that? He does that by beginning to teach them many things. It shows he cares. And it shows that he is a good shepherd because he taught them the truth. The Apostle John, writing his gospel, says this: grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. As the shepherd of our souls, he feeds us with truth and grace. Friends, that is your greatest need this evening, to receive from Christ truth and grace. It's meat and drink to our souls. It will be as spiritual sheep, that which can satisfy our deepest cravings, to know the truth, said the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be made free. What was the truth which Christ declared? Well, he taught the truth about God, his heavenly Father. Though he is the Lord of all, the mighty Creator, the God who will judge all men, yet at the same time, he is a God of tenderness, who is prepared, ready to be a father to those who as children seek his care and his love. This was the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught of man's inner problem. Turn over to chapter 7 just for a few moments. I know this was on a subsequent occasion, But the Lord's ministry was consistent throughout. There was a dispute between the Pharisees and scribes and Christ and his disciples. And the scribes and Pharisees complained that he ate without washing his hands. Look at verse 18. He says unto his disciples, explaining this situation, "Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Just because you eat without washing your hands, it cannot morally defile you. It cannot make you spiritually unclean before God." But he adds this, verse 20, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, unbridled passions, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Well, that may be an unpalatable truth. But when the Lord feeds us, he teaches us these things. And our conscience bears witness. This is the reality. At last someone has put into words what my conscience urges me to feel. That I am defiled. And I'm not defiled because I haven't followed some rite or ceremony. I'm defiled because my heart within is fallen. It's sinful. It's wretched and corrupt. And I need a shepherd who will deal with my deepest needs. The Lord taught not only about God, he taught the truth about our fallen condition. But Christ, as the shepherd, not only speaks of grace, of truth, he speaks of grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ, whilst here upon earth, declared that he is the good shepherd because he gives his life for the sheep. He came in order to pay the price of sin, to give up his life that he may give to his people eternal life. If we turn to John chapter 10, I'm sorry we're moving to one or two different passages this evening. Look at John chapter 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Then again, verse 15. "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." Isn't this what commends Jesus Christ to your soul and mine this evening? He tells us the truth. When we go to a doctor, sometimes it's very reassuring, isn't it? If the doctor doesn't beat about the bush, we'd rather know. Particularly if we can then know the remedy, the cure for our condition. Someone who beats about the bush, who doesn't want to tell us, leaves us uncertain and fearful. The Lord tells us, this is your problem. But he then tells us, this is the remedy. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now I want to move on in the passage that we're looking at, because In Mark chapter 6, we read not only that the Lord began to teach them many things, but then following on from this verse, we have this record of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. In verse 37, the Lord says to his disciples, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" And he saith unto them, "How many loaves do you have? 5, and 2 fish." And he commands them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And all were filled. Well, we don't want to read all of it again. But this really is a working miracle. It's a teaching miracle. It follows on from what Christ has begun to teach these whom he has had compassion upon. He speaks as the shepherd of their souls. He shows them their need. He shows them their God. He speaks of himself. But now he feeds them. Remarkably. Was this just an act of humanitarian aid at the end of the day? No. It was far more than that. This mighty miracle was designed to underline and to illustrate and to confirm what he has been teaching. It advertises his power to satisfy. If you're a sheep, if you could think and speak, then what would you look for in a shepherd? Well, I want a shepherd who will lead me to the best pasture, who will satisfy my hunger and my craving. Jesus Christ, above all, can do that for our souls. This mighty miracle advertises his power to satisfy. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, distributed under his blessing, sufficient to feed 5,000 men, beside women and children. It advertises his all-sufficiency. Do you think, well, I know that I have deep needs. I need forgiveness of my sin. I need my conscience settling. I need to know I have peace with God, reconciliation between me as a guilty sinner and a holy God in heaven. Can Christ satisfy me? Is there a sufficiency in Christ? This parable underlines that fact. He fed them all, and they gathered afterwards baskets full of fragments. This miracle, it speaks too of his free grace. All were satisfied freely. They didn't have to contribute. They didn't have to add their own picnics to that which Christ had supplied. What a picture it is of the free grace, the free gift that the Good Shepherd gives to satisfy our souls. He gives us himself. He lays down his life for our guilty souls, that we may receive free forgiveness and acceptance before God. He freely promises that all that come to him, he will give eternal life, a new life now, and a life with God, walking with God, that will continue for eternity to come. These are the blessings that Christ gives, but this parable, this miracle, illustrates those things. Well, let's think thirdly and lastly, how Christ seeks out his sheep as a shepherd. We thought first of his compassion for our lost souls. We thought secondly of his work as the good shepherd. He commends himself to us. But thirdly, as the shepherd, he seeks out his sheep. That was his beef with the shepherds of Israel, those religious leaders. The Lord says, I am against the shepherds. And he explains why. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty have ye ruled them. Christ is the very opposite in the way he deals with our needy souls. There are those who are diseased spiritually. We all are, to a point. Some sin has eaten away at our character. It's weakened our strength. We cannot resist sin. We are under its power and its grip. But the Lord draws near, and by his converting grace, he changes us, so that that sin that once had such a hold upon our life, the sin of self-love or pride, or for some it may even be the sin of uncleanness or drunkenness or some other addiction, the Lord breaks the snare. He rids us of the disease. This is Christ's work. Others have wandered. It speaks of those that have become lost. They've strayed. How many of us have strayed into worldly ways? We're far from the Lord, really. We never think of him. We never seek him. We never consider his word. Increasingly, our thoughts are to the things of this world. When a sheep begins to stray, although I'm no shepherd, I always imagine that it's a very gradual thing. Perhaps almost unwittingly, a sheep manages to squeeze through a gap in the hedge, and he's in the adjacent field, and then with his head down, he's filling his belly with the grass. He moves further and further and further, and then perhaps something happens to spook him. He runs in the wrong direction, and before long, that sheep is afar off. Isn't that how many wander far from the ways of the Lord? It's almost an unconscious drift. Once we thought about the Lord, once we were in the habit of praying from time to time, of reading his word, occasionally going to church perhaps, but we became absorbed, feeding ourselves, as it were, on the pleasures and leisures of this life, pursuing the ways of this lost world, and before long we were far from the Lord, with hardly a thought for the Lord, with no sense of our spiritual danger, a prey to every temptation, soon to be swept far off, further off, and the Lord sought us and brought us back to himself. That's the testimony of many a Christian. They'd strayed, they'd wandered, but the Lord brought them back. David said in that famous Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. How does the Lord seek out and search for his sheep? Here in Ezekiel, that's what the Lord says. Having rebuked the shepherds, he says, verse 11, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. He seeks us by his word, as it is preached, as it is brought to our memories. The Lord uses that. It's his searching voice calling out to us as lost souls, like lost sheep, saying, come unto me, leave the ways of the world, the dark paths of sin. Turn, and I will receive you and bless you. He seeks out his sheep by providence, dealing with us in life, perhaps speaking to us with a jolt. Can you imagine that sheep wandering further and further, and suddenly something happens to startle that sheep, and it looks up, and in that moment of alarm and trouble, it realizes it's far off from the shepherd. Sometimes the Lord in his providence, he may interfere in our lives to bring us up with a startling jolt, and we begin to realize we're far from the Lord. We've gone astray, and now we feel vulnerable. We see that this world is an insecure place. We sense our need of the Good Shepherd. That's how the Lord sometimes seeks his sheep. He seeks us out by the call of the gospel. That gospel that speaks of his saving ways and his mighty grace and his work at Calvary's cross. That gospel that says to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. This is the message of Christ as he seeks our souls. Have you heard that call? Have you heard the shepherd, as it were, going past your soul, seeking you? He's calling you this evening, saying, come unto me. The Good Shepherd will bring us back to himself. But what does he expect of the sheep? We simply cry. We call upon him. We hear his voice near. And we say, Lord, here am I. I am that lost sheep. Guilty, helpless, diseased by sin, undone, ruined, vulnerable to every prey, every temptation. Lord, deal with me. Take me up in thine arms and take me back to the fold. That's the language of the lost sinner in the hour when the call of Christ is heard. He picks us up like a sheep taken up by the shepherd. We simply have to rest in him. He does it all. All we do is rest in his saving power, in his grace and love. We say, Lord, I've gone astray, but take me back to thyself. The Apostle Peter, writing to the early Christians, says, you were as sheep going astray, but now you are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. May that be the experience of each and every one of us here this evening. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we acknowledge that we are as lost sheep. If any of us here this evening are willful and determined not to be subject to the compassion of the Good Shepherd, then work in our lives, soften our hearts, help us to see ourselves broken by sin, in need of thy saving power and grace. Search us out, bring us back to thyself, pardon us, satisfy us with truth and grace, and bless us with salvation. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Saviour himself. Amen. We close our worship this evening with hymn 438. I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. 438.